Greetings, fellow nerds and geeks. Why don't you pull yourself up a chair, grab yourself a beverage, and prepare to enjoy a geek-tastic conversation. Welcome to the Geekeasy.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another installment of the Geekeasy podcast. I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
What's going on, John?
Man, we're keeping up with our schedule halfway decent on this show now.
We're doing pretty good.
I know, it's exciting.
People should be proud of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't you love it when you sit down and listen to a podcast and all you can hear is the hosts praising themselves actually doing the podcast.
Patting ourselves on the back for doing our job.
Yep,
all right.
Yep. But here we are with no huge news to talk about, but we're still going to keep the information rolling because a lot of little bitty things have happened in the last couple of weeks and a couple of slightly bigger things, and we'll just peg away at them and see what comes up that interests us.
Yeah, that's kind of where I think we're at. Because, like you said, I don't think anything, like, major has broken in the last week or two since the last time we recorded.
We've been on a high episode to episode of, major trailer release, major movie release, WrestleMania, Fast and Furious, all these trailers, Avengers, just boom, ba-boom, ba-boom, ba-boom. And now we're kind of into that, like, summer's in full swing now, so the movies are hitting. But the tent poles are a little bit fewer and farther between.
Right.
And now, the trailers, the movies are coming out, so we don't need new trailers.
Right.
So what we've got to look forward to is actual releases as they come. And, man, I'm supposed to be the movie guy.
I was going to ask if you've seen anything recently.
Not a thing. I am doing poorly.
It's getting rough.
And I've already told my wife I'm going to have to take, I'm going to have to find a 10-day period where I go to the movie theater six of those days because, I've missed, I haven't seen Tomorrowland yet.
Yep.
I haven't seen Mad Max yet.
Yep.
I haven't seen San Andreas yet, which is supposed to be just delightful, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
And from what I can tell, all because of The Rock.
Oh, I'm certain of it.
Everything I've seen about that movie or heard about that movie so much has been it's a movie. It's fine. The Rock is awesome, which I love. I love it.
Yeah, I need to see, and we've talked about this before too, but I still haven't seen Pitch Perfect 2.
I really
like to see that. Mad Max is definitely on my list, and Tomorrowland is on my list for sure too, and that just opened this past weekend here.
Yep.
But I think that is a good starting point for us because right after the release of Tomorrowland, news suddenly broke that all plans for Tron 3 have apparently been canceled.
Yeah, which stinks.
Which is awful, because it wasn't that long ago. We were just talking about how news had started popping up that they were getting ready to start working on Tron 3, and that cast members from the Tron Legacy were going to be reprising their roles.
They were talking about Garrett Hedlund coming back. Uh-huh. Olivia Wilde was supposed to come back. I was under the impression that the movie was full on announced, ready to go.
I thought so too.
And now they're saying, some of the trades are reporting, whatever, that the misconception was that the movies were greenlit. It was never actually greenlit.
Right.
But, man, they were announcing a lot of stuff for a movie that wasn't greenlit.
That's what's so weird about it. And, it's one of those things too where I think I was at a point where I just assumed that we weren't going to get a Tron 3 because chatter about Tron's been pretty quiet for a while.
Yeah.
There was a nice high after the second movie. I don't think it did quite the numbers they were hoping, but I think it did good, and I really liked that movie.
Yeah, for sure.
I liked it a lot.
I think it actually I bet it exceeded expectations a little bit, because it made a lot of money, but it didn't, earth-shatter expectations, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, because I think it made $300 million domestically, maybe, I want to say, and I don't remember what the worldwide total was, and I don't think they were planning on anything that was going to be, I don't think they were looking for, Pirates of the Caribbean numbers.
Right.
I was always under the impression they were fairly happy with the numbers, but again, it wasn't a whole new epic high
exactly
that they've ever seen before by any means. It was just, you know, hey, performed solidly. We're pretty happy after 25 years or however long it was.
I was going to say, there's a huge gap between those movies. But, I mean, I love the original Tron. It's super nostalgic, and it's a lot of fun. And I thought Legacy was just a blast. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was a really fun movie. And the visuals were great. The music was fantastic.
Yep.
I mean, there were so many cool elements about that movie. So
yeah,
I was
the storyline was, I mean, it was everything you would want from an actual sequel.
I was,
it's so weird doing sequels 30 years later.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's so much easier to just do a reboot or a soft reboot or whatever these weird terms that people throw around poorly all the time. But no, they just went, nope, here's the continuation, and it made perfect sense.
Yeah. So I was pretty hopeful that we would get a Tron 3 at some point. But like you said, some of these sites are reporting that it never was actually greenlit, and some of the sites are saying things like, Disney's apparently looking at its budget and looking at the stuff they've already got planned, and there's just no place for Tron 3 because of all these. They're doing all these live action reboots of several of their animated movies, which is crazy.
Yeah, it seems like tons of them.
They're doing a lot of them because we already knew that Beauty and the Beast was on the way, which actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited about that
Emma,
one.
Emma Watson playing Belle. It sounds pretty awesome. But, like, just recently they announced that there's a Tim Burton-directed Dumbo coming out, which is so bizarre. That sounds weird.
Yeah, I just found out about that.
Yeah.
That doesn't... I mean, I'll wait to see. I like Tim Burton. I'm not excited about
that
prospect
sounds just...
at all.
It just doesn't seem like it meshes well. You know, and they're doing, like, a live-action Jungle Book. That just kind of seems to be the thing that they're really on right now, is that sort of thing. Plus, they have all their Pixar movies, plus they have all their Marvel movies, plus they have all their Star Wars movies, so apparently that means they can't do Tron 3.
Yeah.
That's what some of the sites are reporting. Then we come to some of these other sites that are saying things like, the decision to cancel Tron 3 comes following the lackluster performance of Tomorrowland, which was budgeted at $190 million and opened to a meager $33 million. So, I don't know if that's really the case, what bearing that actually has on it, but hearing that just kind of brings me back to what I was saying on the last episode about Tomorrowland. We were discussing the trailer, and I said, we were talking about how the weird thing about that trailer was how you don't really know what's going on in this movie. The trailers don't do a good job of really telling you what this movie's about. There's not a lot of story in these trailers.
Yeah.
And I mentioned in that podcast that I was slightly worried that that was actually going to hurt the movie rather than get people interested in it, because that's kind of the same thing they did with John Carter.
Mm-hmm.
They really marketed that movie poorly with their trailers, and nobody went and saw it as a result, and that was a great movie that bombed.
Yeah.
And it looks like that might be what is happening with Tomorrowland now, and maybe, as a result, it's hurting our chances for Tron 3, and that sucks.
Could be, because, you know, when I first saw the Tron 3 Tomorrowland connection, it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the timing does. The timing screams that's accurate.
Yeah.
So, you never know for sure that these decisions are made by different people in different divisions. It could be total coincidence, or it could be the Disney machine has decided that it's just going to stick with its, you know, its big guns for a little while, whatever, because it does have really full slates.
Yeah.
And those live action reboots of some of the cartoons, they're not necessarily always my cup of tea as far as things I get. Like, I'll see them all. I've never seen them do anything like that I didn't in some way, shape, or form enjoy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've already done... I mean, they did a live-action Jungle Book back in the 90s, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
And they did that Snow White kind of retelling, and they've done, like, the Maleficent.
Maleficent was all right.
Yeah.
They did that Tim Burton Alice in Wonderland, which I really liked.
Yeah.
It gets kind of panned a lot by critics, but I thought it was super fun.
Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan, but I like Alice in Wonderland. It's not one of my favorites or anything.
Yeah.
I didn't hate that Tim Burton movie at all. I didn't dislike it. I watched it. I was like, okay, I was entertained. I was entertained for an hour and 40 minutes or whatever,
I
was done with it.
I thought Tim Burton's style fit Wonderland
for sure.
Well.
For sure, the styles mesh.
I can't imagine Tim Burton doing Dumbo.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
one
so
scene
weird.
In Dumbo.
Wait, there you go. The pink elephant's on parade.
Yeah, that scene. But maybe somebody else does the rest of the movie or whatever.
Tim Burton's like, I got that drunk scene, guys.
Yeah.
Let me get that.
But I've seen a handful of these. None of them have been, like, blow my mind good.
Yeah.
But they've all been solid. So they're and they all do box office.
Uh-huh.
I really did want to see that Cinderella. that they just did.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the most recent one. Yeah. I didn't see it either, yeah, but yeah. I heard good things,
We took our three-year-old. Oh, we were really excited about it, and they had that Frozen short at the beginning, and she saw that Frozen short, and she loved it, and then we got to the actual movie, and she was just like, you know, where's the blue dress? Well, that comes later, honey. And basically about 10 minutes in, she was just bored out of her mind, so we just left
with her. She was there for the Frozen cartoon.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's like when I go to a movie theater and see a Star Wars trailer, and then I'm just ready to go home.
Yep, yep, exactly.
That's what I came for.
Well, she had never seen a live-action movie before, I don't think, other than Follow That Bird.
Oh, which is so good.
Yeah, so good. But it was just one of those things, like, I was super excited for it, and then I didn't get to see it. But I'll catch it on DVD. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah, we'll watch it, too, at some point,
I'm sure. They do have, I mean, they just have a ton of things coming out. So I can kind of buy any of these arguments to an extent, but at the same time, I don't see why Tomorrowland not doing well would make a difference with Tron, because it's not like Tron's a new idea. It's already an established franchise. And I don't see why... Well, we're doing all these other movies, so we can't do Tron because, like, you're Disney. You're not going to stop making movies because you've already got a bunch of movies.
Right.
You know, like, you're doing other things here and there. You could fit it in somewhere in the next 36 months or however long you plan this stuff out.
Right.
It wouldn't be that
right.
big of a deal. So, they all make a little bit of sense. None of them make perfect sense. But at the end of the day, it's just sad news.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever they're doing it,
absolutely.
I would have liked to have seen a third one. But you never say never.
Yeah, exactly. You know? I mean, we never know. Maybe it'll pop back up.
Yeah. Return of the Jedi came out in 83, and we're just now finally getting a sequel to it. So.
True?
Yeah. Think about it.
That's awesome.
So we will see where that goes. And we were talking about The Rock of San Andreas a few minutes ago. We've got a little bit of Dwayne Johnson news.
Yeah,
And again, I'm starting to get scared by how deep some of these plans go, because we just learned from the last story. We thought Tron was greenlit. Tron wasn't greenlit. So you never know where these stories land, but a lot of news was breaking over the last couple of days that Fox and he are working pretty diligently towards doing a Big Trouble in Little China remake.
Yeah.
That has got the internet abuzz.
Oh, yeah. Very abuzz. And you seem pretty excited about the idea.
I think it's a great idea.
I'm seeing a lot of people very upset about the idea.
It's one of those, that was like a roll, because as soon as I saw that news, I'm like, ooh, I bet the internet hates this.
Uh-huh.
And then I read five or six positive things in a row.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like, oh, cool, I guess the internet likes it. And lo and behold, I go to bed that night, I wake back up, nope, internet hates it now.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, you know, I think this is just a scenario where the original Big Trouble in Little China movie is already very beloved. And anytime you remake a movie that's already considered a perfect movie and a classic to a lot of people, immediately they're turned off by the idea.
Yeah.
I think that they might be having a little bit of a harder time fully hating it, at least right away, because The Rock's involved, and everybody loves The Rock.
People love The Rock.
And so they're like, they can't remake that movie. I kind of like The Rock.
Yeah.
But they can't remake that movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? That kind of seems to be the general consensus right now. But I do still see a lot of people saying, they shouldn't be remaking it. Why isn't this just some sort of sequel? Why aren't they just going into the universe more?
Well, I will say this. I have been upset by the lack of Big Trouble in Little China sequels since the first one came out.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have been super upset by the lack of Big Trouble in Little China sequel ever since Escape from L.A. came out. I don't know why. I have no idea why John Carpenter and Kurt Russell sat down and went, we need to do another movie that isn't Big Trouble in Little China. Why would that conversation ever happen? I don't get it. But I've always had that kind of in the back of my mind, because they reboot everything, or they remake everything, or they sequel everything.
Yep.
And that's there's a lot of complaint about that style. I don't mind that style. I'm going to like some of them. I'm not going to like some of them. I'm going to like some original movies. I'm not going to like some original movies. It's all movies. Mm-hmm. If I hate it, I won't go see it. You know, it's not that big a deal. But I always assumed maybe Kurt Russell would get involved and do another one. And I also always assumed that if they did anything else at all with it, I would be opposed because of that reverence for the first one.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw The Rock attached to it, I went, you know what? Cool. Because there's not a guy out there that is more 80s Kurt Russell in modern days than The Rock. That's all there is to it. I mean, he can play exactly that. And I've seen some arguments that make sense. Like you talked about the reverence for the old movie. But all I can say to calm that down, like, and we say this on the show all the time, like, they're not killing your childhood, guys.
That's true.
Like, if they make a Rock movie where he plays Jack Burton and it's terrible, we will still always have the original Jack Burton. It's not that big a deal. On the other hand, I don't know what style of reboot. I mean, are they going to make a remake as far as tell the exact same story? Or are they going to make a reboot of some sort where it's Jack Burton in, you know, similar surroundings?
Right.
Will it be a completely separate Jack Burton story and they just have a younger guy playing it? They haven't said any of that stuff. So there's a lot of different ways they could really go with that. One of the most convincing arguments I saw against it was just the physically imposing nature of The Rock for that character. And that did make a lot of sense. Because you remember, like, the reason Jack Burton was so great was that he was such just a dip. Well, and...
Yeah. You can go ahead and throw me under the bus.
Sorry, Dan.
That's okay.
Dan here hasn't seen Big Trouble in China.
I have not seen it.
And you know why? Because I'm a terrible friend.
Yeah, there you go. You
because
can blame
I've
yourself.
I've known Dan for 15 years, and somehow I let it slide under the radar that he hasn't seen Big Trouble in
Little
China.
It's sometimes ridiculous the amount of classics I realize that I've never seen.
Yeah.
And, like I'm just as ashamed as I should be, but it's just one of those things where it's like,
well, and
I don't know why I've never sat down and watched that. It's not like I went out of my way to not watch it.
And few people have seen everything. I haven't seen everything, and I get that all the time. It is when you get known as the movie guy immediately every time you haven't seen something. Really, you haven't seen that? Yes, I have not seen 50,000 movies.
Yeah.
You know? But this one's a little inexcusable.
I know,
you know?
I know. We'll
but
fix it
the,
soon.
Yeah, the charm of Jack Burton is that he is this, you know, cowboy mentality in like an everyman body or something like, you know, if that's the best way to say it. His ego is a lot bigger than his ability. So, who was it? Somebody said it was like John Wayne's brain in a I can't remember how the metaphor ended, but that's basically he's a lot more machismo than he is follow through,
gotcha.
You know,
gotcha.
So he's willing to dive into a fight, but he's not that proficient at it. So somebody was arguing with me that, you know, like you can't have The Rock do that because the specific example, I'll give a shout out to one of our buddies who said it. He said, Jack Burton runs into a room full of ninjas and you think, man, this guy's in way over his head, or Kurt Russell did, you know, in the original. The Rock's going to run into a room full of ninjas and you're going to think, these ninjas are in deep trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes sense. So that is like it's a different spin on the character. And again, the only arguments I have for that at this point is I have no idea what their plan for the movie is. So I will wait and see what they're going to do.
Right.
And my other argument is it's Hollywood. You know, Tom Cruise is a 4'8" goofy looking dude in real life.
Right.
And, you know, 5'8", whatever he is.
Yeah.
You know, I'm exaggerating.
He's tiny.
He's short and he's a little goofy. And he smiles real huge, and then he goes and makes a movie, and he is a mega action superhero spy, whatever.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
I'm not too terribly worried about it.
Right.
You know, put him in bigger clothes where you can't see the muscles, and do your perspective shifts, and everything will be fine. So I am excited for that. I didn't think they could do Big Trouble in Little China without Kurt Russell and have me excited. I was willing to give them a chance for anything. I just didn't think I'd be excited. But I was wrong. I'm excited. I want to see where that goes.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested, and I need to watch the original one still first.
Yeah, we
got to
get
sure.
on that soon.
Like, I need to watch it soon. But you know what? Like, I kind of got why people were reacting the way they were, just because I understand what it's like to be connected to something that you love like that, not needing to see a remake. But being the guy who has really no connection to that original movie, I just thought, oh, cool. It's got The Rock in it. I'm probably going to like this a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm looking at it from a completely different perspective.
And always remember, too, like, even when these movies aren't that great, sometimes just the high-profile remake is a boon to what's classic to you.
Yeah.
Because they're not making these movies for the legions of people who already love Big Trouble in Little China. Like, you're going to go see it, and they hope you like it. But they've already got your money. You know, like, you're, even if you hate the idea, you're probably going to go shell out $8 to see it or $10 to see it or whatever.
Right.
But you also have to remember the millions of, you know, I mean, this is a 30-year-old movie. I'm a 35-year-old guy. I loved this movie when I was a kid. There are millions of 12-year-olds out there right now who would never give the original the time of day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, now, maybe this movie will come out and be terrible, but maybe there will still be a whole series of kids who go, why did they remake that? I wonder what the old one was like. Why does everybody say the old one was so much better? Or maybe it'll be really good, and still people will come out and say, man, that was great, I want more of that, and they're going to go check out the old one. It's going to be a boon to the stuff you love, one way or another.
Right.
So why fight it? Why get so upset that they're trying things? Just let them run.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So we got some more movie news this past week here, which was actually pretty exciting for me. We've talked a few times about a lot of the casting and everything that's been coming out for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. And we got more and pictures in this last week.
Crazy and weird casting news.
So weird. Okay, and it's so funny because we've kind of talked about this a little bit, but the more news and images that get released for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 makes this movie feel more and more like a soft reboot of that whole movie universe they just recreated.
I don't know why you keep using the term.
Because
I feel like you're doing what we
what
we complain about sometimes.
No, like,
but why is it rebooting?
What's, because everything in this movie is different from the first one except for the way the four turtles look and Megan Fox.
They've recast two characters.
They're
the same characters. And one of them was barely even in the first one. That's true. Shredder and Karai.
They recast Shredder and Karai. But just the fact that they're adding so many elements to this that are very, very close to, like, the original cartoon series. You know, your Bebop, your Rocksteady, the Krang rumors, the way the foot soldiers actually look like foot soldiers this time around. All that kind of stuff already feels so different than what that stuff we saw for the first movie was.
Yeah.
And this is just because, I mean, we talked about that too. Like, it was very noticeable when watching that movie that there was a lot of changes that were made to that movie before it was released.
Yeah.
And we talked about in our review of that movie how we kind of feel like they figured that out as they were putting it together, and now they've got their footing. And so maybe by the time the sequel comes out...
So you're just
kind of
saying, like, they've got a different base for what for the movie they're making.
Absolutely.
And that makes a lot more sense now when I
think
about that
way. I feel like, okay, if we're talking about the original idea for that first movie, and we're going all the way back to when they weren't releasing any pictures or trailers or anything about that movie, because Michael Bay came out and said, I'm going to make these turtles aliens from a different planet. And the internet went, what? And then the script for that movie came out saying all that. Remember reading the stuff about that script about, like, that movie was going to end showing their home planet filled with turtle alien people and weird stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So all that stuff happened, and the fan base just had a total meltdown ready to murder Michael Bay if that movie came out. And all of a sudden, the studio shut up. They didn't release any pictures, no trailers. There was
no knowledge about nothing.
They pushed the movie back.
Yeah.
There was no information about that movie whatsoever. And then when the final product came out, it was different than all of that. But you could tell that it had been kind of chopped up a little bit.
And like I said, now the term soft reboot's making a little bit more sense. Because basically what you're saying is they started making movie A with the first one and then realized somewhere in production this is a mistake and meshed it into movie B instead. And so now they're actually starting with movie B as the base.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say.
So they're coming at it with a different mentality.
That's what I'm trying to say.
I thought you were saying like it's going to be like ignoring the first one or some sort of retelling origin again or whatever. But no, you're just saying like now they've got the mindset right.
Right.
They've got a different mindset going into this one than they did they started the first. And that makes sense.
However, and I'm saying this without seeing this movie. Obviously, I could be completely wrong. But it almost does look like you might be able to go see the second movie without really watching that first movie.
Well, but in fairness, that's the way a lot of movies, especially like more of the franchise ones, are going. And especially nowadays. Like back in the day, that's not even true. I was going to say back in the day it was a little bit different. But no, it's always sort of been that way, unless it actually is a trilogy. Like, I mean, Star Wars, obviously, yes, it's one continuous story. But sequels are always designed to be, you don't have to know everything that happened in the last one.
Yeah, that's
you know,
true.
Sort of like standalone story. That's why, like,
and
one
honestly,
of the things
they
the Marvel...
probably should be that yeah. way because the general audience needs to be able to go into these movies and enjoy it. But the people who follow the movies altogether can still get enjoyment out of the nods and stuff to the past
yeah,
movies.
Exactly.
So that is the way it should
and that's
be.
And it's like with the Marvel movies, because I honestly don't, like, as a comic book guy, I feel like I need to have all those. Like, I couldn't start
yeah.
today and just go, I'm going to watch the second Thor and go with it. But I know people who have only seen the second Thor.
Yeah.
And they still really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know? So
yeah, it should be that
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
you're
what
right.
What they're hoping for.
So the new pictures from the set that came out this week gave us looks at the human versions of Bebop and Rocksteady. Mm-hmm. Before
and a really
they,
happy looking Shredder.
Before they get mutated, yeah. Yeah, there's this funny like selfie that we're looking at. Seamus posted it, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason that Seamus posted it is because we found out that Seamus, the WWE wrestler Seamus, is Rocksteady.
Yeah.
Which
is crazy.
Crazy, yeah. And I'm trying to figure out, because he is working an active schedule right now.
Yeah.
And they're filming right now. How is he doing
that?
And
that's exactly why, because I got a text that Seamus was Rocksteady.
Uh-huh.
And then I got another text that Seamus was Rocksteady. And then I got your email that Seamus was Rocksteady. And when I started getting that in that night, I went out looking for it, and I couldn't find any really reputable information that said for sure this is accurate. There was a picture of the guy we know to be playing Bebop in human form
uh-huh.
next to who we now know is Seamus.
Yeah.
That had already hit the internet earlier that day, but they didn't show who the guy was. You couldn't tell anything from his profile. And the only evidence I could find that night was that same picture, and I'm like, that doesn't necessarily, I mean, that could be Seamus, but that could be any muscular redheaded guy, you know?
Right.
So I was not convinced, and my first thought was Seamus just came back from injury.
Yeah.
He's not going to go take more time off of WWE.
Yeah.
There's no way that that's really him. And then the next day, he's posting stuff on Twitter, and it's confirmed by the studio. And I'm
right.
like, man, what is...
It's so know. Weird.
The only thing I can think of is they probably... I'm guessing they don't really need him for much live action, because probably they'll be CG most of the movie.
That's what I assume. When they mutate him, it'll just be his voice. He'll just be doing voiceovers
yeah, exactly.
at that point. So that's probably what they're doing with him. Unless, I mean, I don't know, because they do that mocap stuff with the Turtles, and the actual voice actors are the guys running around with the mocap suits for the Turtles.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be them.
Yeah,
like, it
true.
Is in that case, but if for some reason they really wanted him and the scheduling doesn't work out, someone else can do the mocap stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Just do
that's
the voice.
True. Well, these pictures that were released of both him and Bebop in their human form are fantastic,
awesome.
By
awesome.
The way. They are straight taking the looks of these characters from the original cartoon series and translating them in the movie form. I mean, I'm looking at Seamus here in his Rocksteady outfit. He's wearing the camo pants, the leather, like he's got this leather spiked vest on, he's got the black tank top on underneath. He is wearing the Rocksteady
yep.
outfit.
Yep.
And same goes with Bebop. Bebop has got the giant purple mohawk. He's got he's got a little nose ring, which is
yep.
a great foreshadowing for
yep.
the fact that he's going to be a warthog. There's a couple pictures of him. In one of them, he's wearing the red vest.
Yep.
I mean, he's got the spikes on the shoulders. I mean, these guys look like Bebop and Rocksteady already.
Yep.
And I am so thrilled by that. I cannot wait to see what their mutated forms look like.
I kind of hope they never show them until the movie.
Until the movie?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
I'm sure they will.
They probably
and yeah,
will.
They'll be in the trailers, and
we'll
be excited when I see them, but it's just one of those things.
I'm excited, though, that these guys are actually going to be in there. It's kind of funny, though, thinking about Seamus being Rocksteady just because of, you know, he's got that really, really thick Irish accent.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in the Nick Turtles cartoon, the current Rocksteady is Russian.
Yeah.
And has a Russian accent.
Yeah.
So I wonder is, I mean,
I gotta be honest,
is he going to be
I don't remember, like, man, did I love that original cartoon. I cannot,
yeah, just
I can't get their voices in my
they
head.
Were very, very, like, that campy goon voice. They were like, they totally had that, like, all right, boss, you know, kind
okay.
of talk.
Okay.
Get the tweedles. Like, that's how they talked.
Okay.
So it's very different. So
do
it's,
it again.
Tweedles!
Yeah! Awesome.
It's going to be interesting to hear him with a Seamus voice. Yeah. Roxanne going to be running around going, "Fella!"
That'd be amazing. I hope so.
I'm excited, though.
Yeah.
That stuff looks cool. And then, you know, we already talked, I think we already talked about that Karai recasting.
Yep.
And, you know, the Shredder casting.
Yeah.
And there were pictures of the foot soldiers that recently got released, and they look like the old stuff. They're like wearing full black ninja type outfits.
They look much better.
Yeah, much better than those weird guys wearing the hockey mask carrying the guns from the first movie.
Have we seen much of Casey Jones?
We have seen Stephen Amell on set.
I've seen him, but I haven't seen like the hockey mask or anything.
Oh, I think they have shown the hockey mask. Let me see. There it is.
Oh, there it is.
Yep. And it's very cool because it's a very Casey Jones-shaped hockey mask. Like, they went with the pronounced, like, eyes and the nose. It's a little bigger than, like, it really, it's like a goalie mask.
It totally wraps around his head. It's almost like a giant, like, helmet, like a motorcycle helmet or something almost. But it's definitely a hockey mask.
I dig it. You know,
it's cool. I mean,
I'm happy that Casey Jones is in the movie. Jones is one of my favorite characters. So I am excited. Things are looking pretty good for this movie. And, you know, I enjoyed the first one fine. I'm hoping that I love the second one.
Yep.
Because everything that I'm seeing from it already looks awesome. So, good news there. Here's a fun bit of news that I definitely want to talk about real quick that popped up today. Apparently, we're getting a new 26-episode animated series of Mega Man.
Cool.
Mega Man! I'm a big Mega Man fan.
I love Mega Man.
Everyone should be.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite classic video game franchises. I mean, I rate it right up there with, like, Legend of Zelda as far as, like, my personal favorites. The original NES games were awesome. I love the X games on the SNES and stuff. So I've been a big fan of those games. There was a cartoon series here in the U.S. in the 90s, which was... it was okay. I like it fine, but I like it in that totally... I know it's cheesy bad kind of way, you know? They totally Americanized it really bad, so, like, he doesn't look like this short little robot guy. He was, like, tall and muscular for whatever reason, but they kind of kept the elements.
Because America.
Yeah, America! He's American robot. But they did kind of keep the elements there where, like, he stole the powers from the robot masters and used their weapons against them and stuff, so it was kind of neat. So I'm interested to see what they're doing here. It says, Dentsu Entertainment USA has partnered with Man of Action Entertainment to develop a 26-episode animated series based on Capcom's iconic video game franchise, Mega Man. I'm really interested in this, mostly because it really feels like it's out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because Capcom has not produced any Mega Man games for several years now. And it's because they... don't want to. Like, they, like, there was this big deal because they were basically like, we're not doing Mega Man games anymore. And the most recent time we've actually seen Mega Man was actually in a Nintendo game because they included him in the most recent Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
I forgot about that.
That was kind of like the first time we've seen Mega Man in several years. And also, Nintendo treated Mega Man better in their game than Capcom has in years, which is amazing. And also, just like that year ago or so, there was that big Kickstarter campaign where the original Mega Man creator started a Kickstarter campaign to launch a brand new game, to develop a brand new Mega Man game that wasn't technically a Mega Man game. It was called Mighty No. 9, where he's basically just continuing on with that format of gameplay without Capcom. So he can't use the official Capcom characters, but he just created his own characters and essentially making his own game. And it became one of, like, the largest funded Kickstarters at that time because people love Mega Man and they want to play that kind of a game. So the fact that Capcom is like, all right, let's do this animated series on this character we're not making video games for is a little out of left field.
Yeah,
it's a little weird. But I'm happy about it. Yeah. I'm glad that we're seeing something new with Mega Man, and I'm anxious to see how this develops. I think it's going to be kind of neat.
Well, and I said, too, and this is just a left field, wouldn't it be neat if we were talking about when we were getting the show started, because it is out of left field, and so you wonder what is the planning for any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so it made me wonder if there's any chance we're going to see any kind of, like, Mega Man appearances in, like, that Pixels movie or something.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know fully what they have the license to use in there, but I know the whole movie is supposed to be about like video games coming to life because of an alien invasion, and so far I think they've only really shown like Donkey Kong and Galaga and Pac-Man.
I think those three is all I've seen.
So I got to assume in a full movie it's going to be more like Wreck-It Ralph style, where we really see a lot more hints of stuff. And I don't know if they've got any kind of working relationship with Capcom or what they're planning on doing, but you never know.
Right.
Maybe that's what they're planning. Maybe that'll be a fun little Easter egg in that movie, or
could be. I'd like it.
Yeah. Cool. Again, I doubt that. A little left field, not even a prediction, really. Just a, hey, wouldn't it be cool if...
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that's kind of neat. I'll be looking forward to that for sure, and I'll definitely check it out. Let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to dive into a bunch of Marvel-related stuff.
Cool.
Go figure.
Weird.
Go figure that we've got Marvel things to talk about.
Paving new ground every episode here on The Geek Easy.
We'll be right back. Alright, we are back. We're going to talk about more things. We're going to talk about a bunch of comic book things.
That's what we do here.
That's what we do here. We got a lot of Marvel stuff that we want to talk about, but before that, we got a little bit of new DC news that just broke.
Yeah, they officially named a director for Aquaman, it looks like, and it's James Wan of Furious 7 fame. And
woohoo, Furious 7!
And The Conjuring, and I think the upcoming The Conjuring 2 they're doing. So he's got a fairly small resume, but it's a resume full of stuff that I like.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna ever insinuate in any way, shape, or form that I'm excited about an Aquaman movie. But if they're gonna make an Aquaman movie, they might as well pick a director I like.
Right.
So, and I will, for the record, I always said the same thing about Thor, and now there's two Thor movies that I love.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will go along those lines. I'm just not going to... And that's not even a DC thing.
Like that, I said, yeah.
That was a Thor thing because I never cared about Thor.
And that's
I
how
don't
it is with
care
Aquaman.
About Aquaman.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If you make him cool, awesome. I'll be excited for it. And you're making the right steps by putting good creative behind it. So let's see where you go with it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Marvel. Let's get into their cinematic universe and talk about some of the new things that's been coming out.
And again, it's just like with the rest of the news. It's a lot of really like small stuff.
Really small
know,
things.
Tidbits here and there. You know, they finished the script for Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Right.
Or the first draft, I guess. And apparently Chris Pratt was moved by it.
Yeah, brought him to tears, according to the news articles. Yep. But, hey, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that's exciting.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, it's exciting because it's Guardians news. You just didn't really learn anything.
Yeah, you didn't really learn anything. You just know that it's coming. I will say that I'm very curious to see how or if that movie is going to play into our big event that we're all building up to here. Because I imagine that the closer we get to the Infinity Wars, the more cosmic everything has to get. Or at least the more aware of the cosmic universe everybody else has to get.
Yeah.
And,
Thanos was such a part of the first Guardians.
Exactly. Too. Thanos was a big part of that first movie. One of the stones was the focal point, obviously, one of the gems. So this has all got to play into it at some point.
And remember your Avengers teaser. Like, he is up and about and active now.
Yes.
So I don't know that the movie will be fully about them versus Thanos or anything like that, but you got to assume he's going to have at least a bigger role than he did in the first one.
Yes, absolutely. So that's exciting. I'm excited to see that. And it's going to be really neat when and if the Guardians of the Galaxy actually meet up with you know, Earth's Mightiest Heroes and stuff like that. That'll be fun stuff.
Yeah, and they keep, I mean, James Gunn's been very adamant about his movies being separate, at least, you know, one and two here. But, I mean, you never know.
I can't imagine that by the time we're at Infinity Wars Part 2, that every single one of these characters that we've ever met isn't going to somehow be involved in this war.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be, that's going to be mayhem. Yep. Oh my God, that's going to be mayhem.
Anarchy.
But it's going to be so much fun. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news. We just ended that spectacular second season.
God, that was cool.
Huge game changer going into season three with lots of the Inhumans. Yep. We know the Inhumans are there now.
That's kind of the goal they set up is the, you know, spoiler alert. The goal they set up, they're going to build a team of Inhumans.
Yes.
Looking for other Inhumans and stuff. And I believe it was on this show, on the Geek Easy, that we were speculating, because they had Lincoln, the Inhuman that was helping Sky quite a bit in the last, you know, part
He's
of the season.
He's the electricity guy.
Yeah, the electricity guy. And we didn't know for sure what had happened to him or what he was going to do, but they have upgraded that actor to series regular.
Yep.
So that insinuates pretty hard that Lincoln's probably, you know, one of the early members of that team they're trying to form.
Probably. Probably.
And again, not huge news. We kind of all expected it, but it's nice to just know that it's out there, and now we don't have to wonder anymore, and now we can just see where they go with the story.
And now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
All right, so this is some interesting news that just came out today, the day we're recording, and I thought this was kind of funny because we did joke around about this a little bit earlier. Samuel L. Jackson came out and said that he is surprised at his absence in Captain America: Civil War.
Yeah, and my mind blown. Yeah. Because it really makes me want to go back and look up a bunch of the previous articles. Because I swear he was listed in that huge ensemble, but now I'm starting to wonder, is that one of those things where I just, my brain assumed so hard that he was there, but they never said his name? Because they said that, and I'm like, what do you mean confirms? Of course he's in it. And then I read through the thing, and it even says, Sam Jackson says, I was surprised that I wasn't in it. The Russos had talked about me doing it, and then I just never got a call or whatever. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
I'm trying to figure out how you do a Civil War storyline without Nick Fury.
Yeah.
Like, that's really interesting. Yeah. And it almost seems like this is...
Well, he was such a big part of the last Captain America movie.
Yeah, exactly. He was a big part of that.
Yeah, and he was back in the Avenger. You know, he was in Age of Ultron. It's not like he's still in hiding or running around or whatever.
Right.
I could picture if they were doing the everybody thinks he's dead angle and playing that out for several more movies, but that's already done.
Yeah,
Cap knows he's around. He's helping with the new Avengers.
And the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys know he's still alive now, according to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know why that they wouldn't include him. And I almost thought that this was some sort of mistake or something. Like, surely not. He's got to be in it. But, I mean, the fact that he's saying it does make you go, weird.
And the other thing is, I mean, you never know for sure who's trying to set you up for a swerve and who's not, but what a lame swerve that would be.
Yeah.
Oh, they said Nick Fury wouldn't be in it, but he is. They gotcha. Got you know? So I can't imagine that's what they're doing, but who knows? It's weird. And again, even he says, you know, they talked to him about it, and then they just never did it. That doesn't make... Oh, that's so weird. We'll see. We'll see why. There's got to be an explanation for it.
Yeah.
But...
so weird. My joke earlier was that since Sam Jackson's just in everything, they probably just assumed he knew and he'd be there. And now that this article's out, they're going, somebody text Sam Jackson, let him know we're filming tomorrow.
Yeah, he's got a dozen voicemails.
Yeah.
He hasn't checked yet.
Sam, buddy, we need you on the set.
Yeah.
You didn't know about this?
Yeah.
You're in the script.
Yeah, the Russos are going, in fairness, Marvel never called him. He just kept showing up on set, so they gave him an eye patch.
That's hilarious. Very interesting stuff, though. So one of the topics that I definitely thought would be fun to kind of talk about this episode is kind of what's going on in the Marvel Universe as far as the comics and the merchandising and all of that is concerned. We've talked about on here before, back when Marvel canceled the Fantastic Four title, which is one of their, like, oldest running comic series and used to be their one of their flagships, the Fantastic Four. They canceled that book.
For the first family of the Marvel Universe.
That's right. They canceled that book a while back. And part of the reason was because the sales were poor. I mean, the sales were low on Fantastic Four. But there was all that speculation at the time that the other reason for them going ahead to and pulling the plug was the fact that Fox still had the rights to make Fantastic Four movies, and they were going forward with making this new Worst-tastic Four movie, and Marvel really wanted to have those characters back for the cinematic universe, so they just figured, you know what? Let's just go ahead and not put any Fantastic Four stuff out there in the comics and let them do their thing. And, you know, we even kind of joked about, well, we'll just watch them fail, and then we'll get our characters back after that kind of a thing. Yeah. So that was
I got a strong shot at.
Yeah, and it's kind of been speculation. It's been heavy speculation with a lot of basis, but it's mostly just been speculation.
Yeah.
But there has been an onslaught of news stories in this past week of just various pieces of merchandise. I think this has really kind of started because there's been all these T-shirts that have been showing up for solicitation, showing up at places like Target and stuff, where there are these Marvel Comics T-shirts, and it's the kind of stuff that you see a lot of times at Target and stuff. I buy a lot of these kind of T-shirts at these stores, and they're using old comic book art, specifically stuff from the older Secret Wars comics and stuff like that. But they are purposely removing the Fantastic Four members and any mutants, including X-Men like Wolverine, straight off of this artwork and replacing it with characters like Doctor Strange.
Yep.
And Captain Marvel, and these characters that are all about to show up, Black Panther, these characters that are all supposed to be showing up in Marvel Cinematic Universe movies.
Yep, the ones that already have movies planned, now all of a sudden they're in these
They're just showing up on these old comic artwork on these T-shirts and all this merchandise.
Which is funny, too, because they're doing the artwork old style. Like it looks like it. If you're not looking for it, if I had never seen the article with a side-by-side comparison there,
you probably wouldn't have noticed.
Never would have noticed.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it is very important to note that they are keeping Spider-Man on all of this stuff. Spider-Man is still front and center on most of this artwork.
Yep.
So this is one of those things where it's like, they're obviously doing this because these movies are getting seen by a lot of people.
Yeah.
These movies are making them a ton of money. They're putting characters on their merchandise that people are going to recognize based off of these movies, and that's what they want to keep making their money on. But at the same time, I don't think it's any secret at all at this point that they are purposely shunning these characters that are owned by these other companies as far as the rights are concerned to make movies.
Yeah. And why wouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, it's business, just, right?
Yeah,
it's business.
Yeah. And it's not even bad business, I don't think. I mean, a lot of people seem kind of like, you know, almost like hurt feelings about the idea. And there's always that mentality that comes around like, oh, here comes the corporation ruining something again. But not, I mean, really, seriously, why would you support something that makes your competitors tons and tons of money in the long run? It's not like, I mean, X-Men books are selling well, so they're going to keep making X-Men books. Fantastic Four books were selling nothing.
Right.
They probably would have canceled it if there was no movie at all coming out.
Yeah.
You know? So it only makes sense. And the Fantastic Four will be back. You know, the characters are still around in the Marvel Universe. They can be used in other books. Someday, there will be a new Fantastic Four publication.
Yes.
I can guarantee you that. But as of right now, pump what you got that people want to see. And like you said, too, it's not just, it doesn't have to be malice to say, well, you've got the Human Torch, so I want to pull the Human Torch off this shirt. It's also the fact that people are seeing movie versions, and they want shirts with movie versions of stuff on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's not an Inhumans movie yet, but pretty soon, people are going to know who Black Bolt is.
Right.
So why not put him on your
Black Bolt,
on your
yeah.
shirts now, you know? And then the, like I said, the mentality behind it, just, it would make less sense to keep going the other way.
Yeah.
Because there's been that, I think it's just a rumor, but I'm sure it's true, for a long time, that Marvel's basically put a stop order on creating new mutants.
Yeah.
New X-Men characters.
Yeah.
Because through their deal with Fox, as soon as a character's created, under the mutant banner or in an X-Men comic.
Then Fox gets the rights.
Fox owns that character.
Yep.
So why would you go out of your way to create this awesome new thing to put into your books to let someone else go off and make tons and tons of money off of? Why not make your new character a slightly different origin and keep him to do with what you want?
Yeah.
And we've talked about this before, too. Like, people always have to put some of this stuff into perspective. Like, whether you like it or not, the Hollywood machine is where money is made. Like, you can talk about how much you love TV and how much we're in a golden age and the medium is better and everybody, like, a lot of talent is shifting to TV and everybody wants to work there. Yeah, that's true. That's fine. You don't make nothing off of ad revenue compared to the $200 million you made the first weekend of the Avengers.
Yeah.
You know? And when you look at comic book sales and you go, well, they're not going to do anything to the X-Men because the X-Men is one of their huge books and they want to keep selling books. And to that point, are they going to cancel the X-Men? No, probably not, because it is popular and they do sell books. But man, I bet you got to sell 3 years worth of X-Men books before you make what one X-Men movie makes in its first 2 weeks in the theaters, you know?
Absolutely.
So, like, it is, as it becomes one whole company, they're looking at big picture stuff.
Right.
So, again, like, it's sad that you can't create new X-Men, but it would be stupid to allow people to make new X-Men.
Right.
You know, it's just shoveling money out the door.
It's the same with the toys, too, because they're doing the exact same thing in the toy aisles, because movies like X-Men Days of Future Past had no toys. And they're obviously not doing anything for the new Fantastic Four movie. But, of course, Spider-Man, even the Sony Spider-Man movie, but kind of makes you wonder if there was already, there's obviously been talks, or they've been hoping for Spider-Man for a while. But, you know, Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, all these movies have big toy pushes behind them. None of the Fox Marvel movies have any toys. And even comic book related, they aren't making X-Men characters anymore in action figure form. I mean, you got some of that stuff in, like, they got some of the kid lines that still have, like, Wolverine and stuff floating around in them. But you're looking at stuff like Marvel Legends now. They're even, like, not doing the mutants in Marvel Legends now. They did a Toys R Us exclusive wave of just X-Men characters about a year and a half or so ago, which was super short-lived, and it was originally going to be canceled, I think, and then they ultimately made it a Toys R Us exclusive. Since then, we haven't seen any mutants. You know, we haven't really seen the X-Men characters. We definitely haven't seen any Fantastic Four characters in the Marvel Legends line. They are straight up focusing on Spider-Man characters and Avengers characters and all these other Marvel characters that they are going to be using.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just how their merchandising goes.
Yeah, it's the characters they have the freedom to use as they want.
Yep.
So again, like I said, it just makes sense. Like, it may, you know, depending on your perspective, it may or may not be sad. I get that.
Right.
But still makes perfect sense. And in point of fact, there you were talking about, like, the toys and stuff too. I cannot remember the manufacturer, but there was news within the last week or so, somebody, one of these companies that designed statues and stuff, apparently had a Fantastic Four line coming out, and even went out and full-on tweeted, sorry, we've got to cancel this line because we're not allowed to use any of these characters, and the same goes for X-Men. I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but they flat-out said it, and I think the tweet was fairly quickly deleted, but people caught it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
so Marvel's, like, putting the kibosh on that stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, they're like, sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost does kind of feel like, I mean, it makes perfect business sense, but a little bit of it does almost feel like they're starting to strong-arm Fox a little bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, we're going to get these guys back at some point.
Again, cool, because I want Marvel to have these guys back.
Just so you guys know, we're getting them back eventually.
Yeah.
It's kind of like they're sending that message out there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's pretty crazy. And then this kind of brings us to the topic of the big Secret Wars event that's going on in the comics. And this is all, like, we've said this before too, I'm really not up on reading the comics. So everything that I know about the stuff is what I'm reading online, reading, you know, other people who I talk to and stuff are saying about it, or reading these news articles. But there has been a lot of reports on this exact same topic here, talking about this Secret Wars storyline. And this could be potential spoilers for it. So obviously this isn't confirmed, and I guess if you don't want any of this kind of stuff, but it's been all over the place. But supposedly with this whole Secret Wars storyline that's going on, because they're also getting ready to reboot the whole Marvel Universe again, and I think that's what they're doing with this whole Secret Wars storyline, I think this whole thing's going to result, or what the rumors are saying is it's going to result in all of the mutants in the Marvel Universe getting jettisoned off into space to another planet or to another dimension or something like that, so that all of the mutants just exist in a completely different universe than the core Marvel universe. So that way they can still run these X-Men books, but they won't be crossing over with these characters that are in the movies.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It makes sense, but I get, you know, business standpoint, I see what they're doing, but that's crazy.
Yeah. Man, and flashback to the 90s.
Yeah.
And
where Wolverine and X-Men were everywhere.
Yeah, and think to yourself, I bet there'll be a day where Marvel tries their best to stifle this property's existence. Yeah. Never would have saw that coming.
I know.
Holy.
It's so different. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah.
So that's just crazy to see happening. And, you know, yeah, man, Wolverine, he is so huge for them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was the character that everybody was getting sick of seeing because he was everywhere, because he was so popular. And now they don't want you to know who Wolverine is.
Yeah. Which They're is like, funny because I was never a Wolverine guy until Hugh Jackman came along.
Really?
And now...
I was a big Wolverine kid.
Yeah. I liked him. It just was... Yeah. I didn't get the hype. Same with... It's always been that way with Batman. I was always a Superman guy.
Yeah.
I like Batman. I never got the hype.
I was a Batman kid, too.
Yeah.
See, so. I got Batman and Wolverine. But Spider-Man, too. He was always a huge deal of mine.
Do we have to fight now?
Because Batman and Superman?
Yeah. Well, or Wolverine and not... Wolverine. You know what? We'll just continue with the show.
Well,
just agree on Spider-Man.
I was going to say, because,
he was always my
favorite. We both
have
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's always been one of my favorites, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's definitely interesting stuff to see kind of unfold, and I'm curious to see how it's going to really alter things and really change things. And
then I was just saying, like, the Hugh Jackman thing turned me into a Wolverine guy, but just for, like movie Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
He's always been the shining spot. In those, even in his own standalone terrible movie, he was still good.
Yeah,
and then his standalone good movie, he was good. Now they're doing more of those, but he's done now.
You know,
he's supposed to be done after the third Wolverine.
Yes, he did say that. He said that he was doing it.
Yeah, and he's been
this...
teasing that for years, and now he's finally flat out said,
it's
been 20 years hanging up.
Oh,
15 years.
It's insane he's been doing it so long.
You know, so that's cool hanging up. But I was just thinking, like, after that third movie comes out, Bryan Singer's the only other thing I have any connection to with that franchise as far as, like, caring about.
Yeah, I'm curious to see.
And I'm pretty sure, like, Fassbender and McAvoy, like, I think they're done after three movies.
Well, and they're doing.
So we're getting to that point where...
What are they going to do?
Yeah, like...
How much
like,
longer can that go?
This is the perfect time, in my opinion, for this to happen because I really... Like, 10 years ago, I'd have been like, hey, awesome, X-Men's going back to Marvel, except no more Hugh Jackman now, and that's sad. But I don't have that worry anymore.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All the stuff I care about's going away anyway.
Yeah.
So, let them go.
That's the thing, too, and we've talked about this before. What's going on already in the Marvel Cinematic Universe doesn't need the X-Men involved in it, because the X-Men already kind of have their own big... storylines and their own kind of almost like their own universe anyway.
They really do.
Where they don't really need to be mixed in with the stuff that's happening right now. So if Marvel was to get the rights back to the X-Men and Fox wraps up what they're doing and we get all the way through what Marvel's doing with the Infinity Wars and they kind of wrap up their big storylines with the Avengers and everything, then they can approach the X-Men.
Yep.
Foxes will be long done. They'll have wrapped up the Infinity Wars and everything that they had really built with the Avengers and everything. Now they can shift their focus and give us their version of the X-Men.
Yeah,
and
be
we'll
awesome.
Be far enough away from what Fox did. We'll be outside of the giant mess of the Infinity War with all those other characters. And they can focus on giving us something with the X-Men. I think that would be great timing for all that
I
stuff.
I think that would be perfect. Now, it's a long shot.
It
because,
is,
because, you know, short of a couple of real heavy bombs coming through, it's very doubtful it'll happen because they've already got, they've got that Thor Wolverine plan. They've got Days of Future, or not Days of Future Past. They've got Apocalypse for next year.
Yep.
And then they've got
Gambit.
That solo Gambit movie. They've got an X-Factor or New Mutants
Deadpool.
Or maybe both. Deadpool. I do wonder, like, I know Deadpool exists in that universe.
Yeah.
I really wonder how much Deadpool will matter
I
to
was,
that universe.
And that's the thing. I was going to bring him up because in all of the stuff that's going on, he seems to be the one guy that's been safe from everything. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because Deadpool is a big moneymaker for Marvel.
Yeah.
And they're not going to mess with Deadpool.
Yeah.
But he is a character that could I mean, like, he is kind of his own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he technically started in the X-books. He has ties to Wolverine. He is a mutant. But he is so his own thing. You know, at this point, he is.
Mm-hmm.
And he has such a huge following. And that movie is going to be its own thing anyway. It's a standalone movie. Yeah, he totally seems to be safe from this whole, like, execution of the X titles and everything. Yeah. Like, it seems like Deadpool's totally safe.
Execution, I get it.
Yeah.
Execution.
There you go. Execution.
Wink, wink, nudge.
And that's the stuff going on with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., how they're kind of using the Inhumans as their powered people now instead of mutants. It looks like they're going to be doing the same thing in the comics. Because that was another part of that article that I was reading, is that Marvel plans to focus a lot more on the Inhumans in the comics as the people that have superpowers rather than mutants.
Yeah.
So they're totally
makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, they're kind of retconning stuff in a way.
I mean, you've already got the movie planned, so make people a little bit more familiar. I mean, you're not going to get everybody. A lot of people love the movies and don't even read the comics, but do what you can to kind of pronounce that stuff. And so if you keep moving along and everything's successful, that just adds more credibility to your books there,
right?
As well, so why not?
Yeah,
and it works. It's an easily interchangeable part, because the big part of the Marvel Universe, beyond just the X-Men themselves, has always been that mutant faction.
Yeah,
you never know who's got powers or where they're going to manifest or if they're good or bad and how they happen or whatever. And so if they can't fill that void with what the comics do, then turn something else into a stand-in for that.
Uh-huh. You know?
Makes perfect sense. And remember, too, if they're going to start doing a lot more stuff with the Inhumans in the books and whatever else, that timeline fairly well matches up, I think, with what they did with Guardians of the Galaxy then. Because I think the Inhumans movie is slated for, what, 2018?
Yeah, 18.
Yeah, so we've got 4 years, three years.
Yeah.
That Guardians movie that came out in 2014, that team never showed up. That particular team didn't show up till like 08 or 09, did it?
Yeah, that's something like that.
Like, they rebooted it in the comics, and then it was successful, and they went, yeah, we can go and do a movie with this. So
yeah,
it's the same thing. Now, well, we've got 3 years to build something out of this comic before our movie comes out.
Right.
So let's get to work on it.
Man. Crazy stuff. Crazy stuff in the universe there.
I'm such a great time to be a nerd.
It really is. It really is. And I'm anxious to see how all this plays out. And, I mean, you know us. We love those movies.
Yeah.
So I just hope they stay good, and I hope this all works out the way they want it to, and it's cool.
Yep.
All right, before we call it quits for the day, we actually have another fan question that I wanted to bring up. So Dexter writes, fantastic episode. I think DC's best movies are animated. I agree with him.
Yep, for sure. No doubt.
He says they don't treat the audience as dummies, and they follow popular story arcs from the comics. I think the live-action blockbusters can learn from that, and it looks like Marvel is already doing that sort of stuff with the extremist storyline they used for Iron Man 3, and more notably, Civil War for Cap 3. So, what DC story arc would you guys like to see as a live-action summer blockbuster? My choice is Batman Hush.
Ooh, that would be good.
That would be good.
That would be very
That would
cool.
be good. There's a lot of those Batman stories that I think would translate so well into movies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, obviously they might already be doing a Dark Knight Returns-ish thing, but that could be interesting to see as a standalone movie if they actually did that.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too, is especially with a lot of those, and Batman's one I think of. Like I said, I was never a Batman guy, but I like Batman.
Yeah.
And I've read several graphic novels, and I think he, as much as if not more than anybody, has so many self-contained stories.
Yes.
They could do a Batman movie a year,
yes.
And they could put a different Batman in every movie and make it its own thing and
totally.
Just do these types of stories.
Totally.
And Hush would be a very good one.
They can do the Red Hood stuff. They could do, you know, the Year One stuff, which was pretty cool.
Yep.
Long Halloween was a big one. What I don't know why I'm totally drawing a blank on the name, because I'm terrible, but what's the big Joker one?
Killing Joke.
Yep. Holy cow. Yep. And that's such a, like, a pivotal, like, story arc right there. I mean, you know, with you know, Batgirl and Robin getting killed. And oh my God, like that is like an ultimate Joker story right there.
Sure.
I mean,
for
that that could be some cool stuff. But I was thinking too, like if we're talking like, if they want to try to build a universe similar to what Marvel's doing, like Marvel's building their movies right now and leading up to the Infinity War. Because the Infinity War and the Infinity Gauntlet storylines were kind of like the big, giant storylines in the comics.
If you were going to look back at Marvel and say, like, what was the one? I mean, I would argue Secret Wars.
Secret Wars was big, too.
Secret Wars or Infinity Gauntlet.
Exactly. And so they're working towards that Infinity Gauntlet storyline. In DC, it almost seems like it would make sense to work towards the Crisis on Infinite Earth storyline.
Yep.
So if they if they're trying to build towards something huge and they can pull it off the way Marvel's doing, I think that's what I'd like to see done.
Yeah.
I think that would be a really cool giant event to watch them lead up to, the same way we're watching Marvel lead up to the Infinity War.
Yep.
Yeah.
I am trying to really pinpoint some specific storylines like that, and I'm doing the same kind of thing where I'm like, I've got like snippets, but I'm drawing some blanks. So this is actually a question I kind of want to go do some research on and maybe revisit.
Yeah,
because I don't like this. This is the first time I'm reading this question, so I really want to think about what some DC storylines were. Like, obviously, the first one that pumps into my mind is I would love to see like a faithful adaptation of the Death of Superman.
Oh, okay,
You know, however many movies. But that's one of those tricky things. Like, I think they could, I think Superman's an established enough character, they could just open you in a world where that just happens.
Uh-huh.
But would it maybe be better if there was a Superman that existed for a few movies and then they did that?
Yeah.
That could be cool, too. But they're not on a trajectory to do, they're not working towards doing what I would want them to do with that at this point. Like, if they do one with Cavill, I'll be interested to see what they do. I'll be excited about it, but like the image I have in my head is not what they kind of have
now. The problem in the current universe is that they already did his fight with Doomsday, but they did it with Zod.
Yeah,
and he didn't die.
Yep.
I mean, sir, you can't outdo that fight, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and they're talking about Doomsday being.
You guys stop that. Yeah. I mean, like, you already blew your chance. I feel like, because you did the big, giant, crazy fight scene with Zod that destroyed the entire city. That's the kind of fight you should have saved for Doomsday,
yes.
Because Doomsday should have caused repercussions like that, and Superman would die at the end of it. I mean, like, that's a totally different storyline. Instead, you guys are like, well, let's just have him and Zod have that fight.
Yeah.
And then he'll kill Zod at the end.
Yep.
No! That should have been saved for Doomsday.
One thing, and I'm not going to point to a specific storyline, but one thing I would really love to see in a movie universe would be the, I think, they were just called the they were just the Justice League. They were the Justice League of America. But for a while there, when it was like the B Squad,
yeah,
like I would love to see like the Blue Beater, Booster Gold, Guy Gardner. Actually, that was the Justice League that was around during the Death of Superman.
Beetle and Booster Gold,
yeah,
and
like Fire and Ice and all that
stuff.
Like, I would love to see that. But again, I don't know how much setup you would need, because if you just started the movie with all those characters, everyone would just be super confused. Especially if you called them the Justice League. You know?
Yeah.
If you did like a Heroes for Hire thing with them that they did for a while, maybe that could work. And if they're already doing Suicide Squad, so that sort of thing is a clearly like up for grabs.
Yeah.
But again, without a specific storyline, I would like to see an iteration of that team, though in saying that, again, I don't know if it's I don't know if it was something that would work in the current DC universe, because the current DC universe seems to be very humor averse.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not saying that trash them, like that's literally like they have they have gone on all but gone on record as saying, you know, these are not funny movies. These are gritty, real, blah, 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 whatever. And therefore, putting a team of comedy superheroes together probably isn't something that I do want to see. Because if they did a Blue Beetle, Booster Gold, and all those guys, they would probably be just dark and weird. And
yeah, exactly.
What I want. So,
exactly.
In a perfect world, I would love to see that. In a perfect world, I'd love to see the Death of Superman stuff.
Uh-huh.
And beyond that, I just kind of want to go and do a little bit of research and try to jog my memory on some of those stories that I did used to love, because that's a very interesting question.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and not a specific storyline, but I'd love to see the Teen Titans in a movie. Just like the Young Justice type characters, you know, with Robin and Cyborg and Starfire and Raven.
I think they're doing live action TV of those.
Oh, really?
I think so.
See, that could be fun.
Like a TNT or something weird, too. Man. It's like a totally different network.
I just, like, I loved the Young Justice cartoon series so much, and that there could have made for such an awesome live-action movie if it was done with the same love and care that that cartoon series was given. So, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff.
And another thing, it's sort of an offshoot of this question. We've talked about it several times. You're the one who always says it, and I fully agree, too. Those Arkham games.
Oh, man.
That they make.
Yes.
But again, it's not a full answer to the question, because honestly, you don't need to make those into movies.
You don't.
The games are already the movies, and those games are going to be better than any movie you can put out there.
They'll be better than any
goes.
Batman movie will ever be given.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. I love those games. Well, very cool. Thank you very much, Dexter. That was a great question. If any of you guys out there have specific questions like that, or you want to throw out some topics or anything, the best place to do that is at our Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/geekeasypodcast. I usually try to put a post up the week we're recording, so you guys can always post your questions there, but always feel free to just post directly on the page or post on the episodes that we're putting up there, anything like that. But that's the best place to reach us. In addition to that, you can download this podcast from iTunes, you can find us on Stitcher, you can find us on Podbean, so whatever your preferred way is of listening to podcasts, please subscribe to us or follow us, give us a rating, all that good stuff, so that way we can make sure to expand our reach and more people can find out about the show. We would really appreciate it.
Yep.
And we're on Twitter too, so if you want to chat with us on Twitter, you can find me at PixelDan.
And I'm at JLeonard31.
And we're always on there. So I always post the episodes on there, too. So feel free to reach out to us. Or we get a couple people that throw comments out at us every now and then on there. So
yeah,
that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So.
And I always feel like I'm useless to the Twitter world sometimes because I don't post a lot of comments. But generally, if people if people send comments my way, I'm pretty decent about responding. So if you got something you do want to ask, let us know.
Awesome. Well, there you go, guys. That is going to wrap up this installment of the Geek Easy Podcast. So until next time, I am Pixel Dan.
I'm Jonathan Leonard.
Take care, my friends.
The Geek Easy Podcast is a production of PixelDan.com. Musical tracks used in the intro and outro are used with full permission of the respective owners or creators. Intro and outro narrations are provided by me, Brian T. Stevenson. Any animated series discussed are copyright their respective owners. PixelDan.com's The Geek Easy Podcast is provided for entertainment purposes only. The views expressed are those solely of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily represent those of PixelDan.com or any other party. Be sure to join us next time for another installment of the Geek Easy Podcast.